Okay, thank you very much. I want to acknowledge one of my students and also co-author of this study, Odette Johnson at the Department of Crop Science at Catholic University of Chile. During this presentation, I will give you a brief review about what erodibility is, the objectives of this study, some materials and methods, the study area, and how we calculated the K factor. And in terms of results, the estimated values with alternative method, the frequency distribution of erodibilities, and the K factor values interpolation for the study area. When estimating maximum potential average annual soil loss due to sheet and real erosion, usually the model that you can use for this kind of study is the revised universal soil loss equation. It's a simple model and operates in a very easy way if you know the parameters that you need to use for it or if they are available. In Russell, the soil erodibility factor K is traditionally estimated from the nomogram developed by Bischmeyer and Smith, the same that appears in the first version of the USLE, which is based in soil properties. In Chile, even though there is a well-distributed soil description, no systematic characterization of the territory exists in terms of soil erodibility. And the absence of this type of information constitutes a serious limitation to many soil and water conservation programs in the country. So the main purpose of this study was to build a soil erodibility map for most of the cultivated land in Chile, which is part of a bigger project that also calculate the soil the rainfall erosivity factor for the entire study area, and I will show you some slides about that at the end of this presentation. The study area is located between the 32 and 39 degrees, and it's an area that, depending on the width, is about 100 kilometers in width and 860 kilometers in length. This area covers more than 70% of the agricultural land in the country and more than 50% of the forest land in the country. There is a considerable gradient in terms of rainfall rates from north to the south. In the north, it's about 200 millimeters per year, and in the south, it's 3,500 millimeters per year. Also, the landscape is quite different from north to the south. Even though you can see some green areas here, this is because it's irrigated. This is a natural landscape in that area, but in the south of this area, you can see a lot of forest land, and as a result of the climate, the landscape too, you can have a wide range of soil orders in the study area. So, in terms of soil information that we use for this study, we use the equivalent to the NRCS soil surveys, the same one that you have here in the US. It's the same approach that it was developed in Chile. The only difference is that we didn't calculate the K value in those soil surveys, that we have to came with that calculation now. And we described each one of those soil series in terms of texture, clay, silt and sand content, organic matter, permeability, and structure. We use two approaches to calculate the erodibility factor. One is a typical, coming from the USLE, where you can estimate the K value based on the soil texture, organic matter, structure, and some class profile permeability classes. This equation was used for soil with less than 4% organic matter. That is the purpose of that equation. If you can use it for more than soil with more than 4% organic matter, but as I will show you, some strange issues appear with the equation. It's not because the equation is wrong. Actually, it's because we are using it the wrong way. So for those soils, that is typical that in Chile we have soil with more than 4%, even 20% organic matter is the kind of typical value that we can find in the south of the country. We did a literature review looking for different equations or different alternatives. At least we came with 10 or 12 different options. Unfortunately, most of them were not useful for us because the information required to solve the problem, it was not available. So we select one that appears in the Russell user manual published by Rumkins in 1997 that is only based on particle size distribution. That is the one that appears here in the bottom. And I will show you a comparison between both results. The soil series description, as I told you, it was taken from soil surveys, and we identified 535 soil series in the study area. We locate those series in the study area, and we had a wide range of soil texture, as appear here in the triangle. 64% of the soil series exhibits organic matter with values below 4%, and 36% of the soil series show values above or beyond 4% organic matter. So for this 64%, we use the equation 1, the traditional one, and for this 36%, we use the equation 2. If you use the traditional Bischmeyer and Smith equation and you solve that equation for those 535 soil series, you can get something like this. Here in the horizontal axis you have organic matter, and in the vertical you have the K value. This equation was designed for mineral soils, so we should use it just until 4% organic matter. So that's the reason that if you extrapolate this equation, you are getting negative number for the K values. So here you have two pictures. On the left side, you have in blue the results coming from the Bischmeyer equation, and in red you have the result coming from the Rompkins equation. You can see that the trend lines for both systems are actually opposite. So the thing that we did to solve this issue is that we use the Bischmeyer equation only for those soils, as I told you, that has less than 4% organic matter, and the Rompkins equation for soils with more than 4% organic matter. And now, if you calculate the trend lines, you have a gradual transition around 4% organic matter. So we can get something much more continuous when you move from one soil that has 3% organic matter to a soil that has 5% organic matter. And this is the approach that we use to estimate the K value in the study area. So some of the results. The frequency distribution of irritabilities in the study area is the one that is presented in this slide. Here you have the K factor value calculated for the 535 series and the number of soil recording in each one of this range. Almost 50% of the soil series in the study area are located in a very narrow range between 0.04 and 0.05. Almost 70% of the series are between 0.03 and 0.05. Actually, it's a very normal distribution that we got for this study area. In terms of people in Chile, usually people who work in soil conservation associate organic matter in a soil with a soil that is not vulnerable to water erosion. And most of the program are not funding conservation practices in those soils with more than 4% organic matter. Actually, our results show that there was no difference between the soil erodibility factor depending on the organic matter content. This is a theoretical study. Our next step in the future, it will be checking this thing in the field. So you can see here that for different levels of organic matter, there was no difference in the mean of the K value for different group of soils. Actually, the K value for this study didn't show any response to the organic matter when you cluster the groups. But there was a difference when you associate a soil texture with the K value. And you can get this kind of diagram where you have that situation where you have a loamy soils with the higher K values, clay soil with a lower K value, and of course sandy soil with less K value. This is something that I agree with some of the literature that have been already published, that the soil more vulnerable to water erosion are actually those loamy soil with a high level of silt. Clay soil tend to be much more attached, and sandy soil has a bigger soil particles. If you cluster the result in terms of soil orders, you can have also some difference in terms of the K factor. Also, some difference in terms of organic matter, structure, and permeability. But in this study, we were much more focused on the K factor, and you can see that there's some slightly difference between soil orders. And at the end, we put all the information together about the soil series description. We calculate, as I told you, for each one of these soil series, the K factor values, and using spatial interpolation techniques, like kraying, using a grid cell size that it was 1 kilometer in size, we create this erodibility map for the study area. And I will show you in the next slide much more detail about this one. Here we split the study area in two pieces. This is the upper side of the map. This is the lower side of the map. You can see a wide range of values from north to south. Most of the agricultural land in this area is in the Central Valley. Here in the west side of this map, you have the coastal mountain, and in the eastern side of this, you have the Andes mountain. So most of the cultivated land runs here in the center. You can see a wide range of the differences in terms of the K value. Approximately the distance between the capital city, that is Santiago, and Rancagua, it's about 90 kilometers. So you can have an idea about in what distance you can have a big difference. Here the K value range from 0.02 up to 0.06 in a distance that is less than 70 kilometers. If you go to the south, you can have bigger difference in the same distance, going from 0.01 in this area up to 0.1, one order of magnitude difference in less than 80 kilometers. And most of this area, it is used for crops, but most of this area is used for pine plantations because of the rainfall rates. So let me show you this last slide with some of the information that I already presented in a similar talk on Tuesday. We were also calculating the erosivity for the rainfall erosivity for the area, something similar to the thing but simpler than the one that Mark was showing before. We use a total of 241 rain gauge station, and we calculate the rainfall erosivity factor for the entire area. Now we have the soil erodibility factors coming from 535 soil series, and our final approach was to build a vulnerability map for the study area, just based on climate and soil properties. Later you can add different information like crop use and landscape, all those features. Since these two terms come from the USLE and the Russell model, you can multiply them and you can get a vulnerability map that show you which areas are much more in risk of water erosion. And that is the map that appears on the right side. So even though in terms of soil erodibility, the southern corner of this study area, it was not very affected, if you combine that information with the high rainfall erosivity rate of that area, you will see that the south of this study area, where you have much more area covered by pine plantation, is the much more vulnerable. And that area in the north, where you have most of the crops, is less vulnerable to rainfall water erosion. Finally, some thoughts. The soil erodibility values were estimated for most of the cultivated land in South Central Chile. The erodibilities were estimated based on soil survey data using two different methods, the Bischmeyer and Smith nomograph, and the method based only on the soil particle size distribution. When erodibility values were correlated with soil organic matter, a gradual transition between the estimates of both methods was observed for soil with around 4% organic matter. Soil erodibilities in the study area range from 0.1 up to 0.1 tons per tons hour megajoules per millimeters in the study area, one order of magnitude difference in very short distances in terms of the map. And finally, although the estimates could be improved by generating additional point estimates, the erodibility map presented in this study should prove to be a good tool for land use planners in the South Central region of Chile. Thank you very much for your attention. Any question?
All right, then I thank you very much. Okay. I'd like to invite